If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. Today's Power Lunch is brought to you by The Palm at Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Sure, The Palm is great for a fancy night out, but it's also the perfect midweek spot for a lunch with a client, or lunch to catch up with a friend, or maybe even to do an interesting podcast like this. Power Lunch menu selections at The Palm start at $26 for an appetizer, meal, and dessert. Book your reservation today directly at thepalm.com, open table, or by calling them at 703-917-0200.
I can make most anything on the menu except
whatever you got is fine.
I'm going to say some bad words. You're just going to have to deal with it.
PB&J with the crusts cut off. Well, Brian, this is a very nutritious lunch.
Hey, you got enough money to pay for all this? You know, money, cash, dollars, dinero.
So what I believe you were trying to say is thank you.
Thank you?
You're welcome. What can I say?
I like this foursome here. Buckhands, it's always great that you say yes to a lunch like this.
I can never pass up.
You never pass up a free meal, and you live close to the Palm.
Close enough.
So it's easy enough.
I'm a media member. If it's for me, if it's free, it's for me.
There
I'll take
go.
Three.
Christopher Johnson, a.k.a. CJ, or Siege for short. Longtime producer of the John Thompson Show on the Team 980, program director at the Team 980, and now you run the Commanders radio broadcast on Sundays. And the network, right?
I'm involved in the whole thing, but It's mainly overseeing the game day broadcast.
Okay, you've been doing that now for how many years?
Off and on for 20.
You ran it for us at 980.
Yeah, I mean, this has been since we 980... You know, changed hands. I guess it's been 3 or 4 years now.
Okay. And one account, Johnny Rhodes, my man, is here. Yeah. Who has logged more hours listening to us, CJ, on 980 and firing in opinions, passionate opinions, sometimes on point, sometimes wild scud missile opinions.
Way off. Yeah, sometimes.
But that's okay, like everybody. And you and Siege go way back. You played in the Potomac Cup together.
That's right.
Fun. Gosh.
Some of the best athletic moments of my life.
I know. And I didn't know, Buck, if you had ever had the glory of meeting Johnny before.
We just met.
You just met now.
Actually, we played. We played with you.
At 1757.
How quickly you forget.
And you were telling some great stories, Buck, but I cannot remember our fourth, and it might have been Phil.
Could have been. What? When was it?
No, it was not Phil Schneer, because I would have remembered. I did not get a chance to play with Phil. How is Phil, by the way?
Phil's fine. He's not playing any golf, because his health is not such that he can play golf, but he's fine.
Well, that's not fine.
Well, he's, you know, 70, 73.
Diet Coke there, thank you.
And
that's Bucks.
Either one.
Yeah. So he's 73, and he's not
had a,
in great
he's had
health.
A couple of arm surgeries, okay. And he's just not able to really swing a golf club.
Well, we wish Phil Schneer the best.
For the record here, Carol and I have been trying to get together, and I thought...
Carol Maloney?
Yeah, and I thought today was the day, but instead we got Rhodes as the fourth. Yeah,
that's a dagger, CJ.
It's a big time dagger.
That's not really...
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I thought it was going to be Carol.
That's when you think there's a girl in a bikini in the cake, the birthday cake.
And here I am.
It's a Romanian midget wrestler.
Although his legs might be nicer, but she's...
I actually don't blame you guys for being upset about that.
Now, Buck, Rhodes says he once tweeted something about one of your play-by-play moments, and that you said, that was really nice, thanks. Well, you remember that, what that
yeah,
was?
Yeah, so I was upset about you not being the
voice of the Wizard.
the Wizards voice anymore. And, yeah. And I tweeted something about you being the consummate professional, and you actually IM'd me, saying that was the nicest
thing. IM'd or DM'd?
DM'd. Okay. But the funny thing is, if I was going to try to find it, I'd have to find like the three or four Twitter feeds.
Hold on 1 second. It's nothing to be proud of to be on John Rhodes' Twitter feed. This Twitter feed has been banned.
I've been banned several times.
Really? Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
But he said something nice about me, so that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, so every time I'm like, okay, this time I'm forming a new feed and it's sports only, and they pull me back in with politics. And
you got to avoid that. Got to avoid that. Anyway, so it's great we're all here, boys, and we got a lot to talk about today. You saw the rundown. Which routes are you most eager to jump on? Because we don't have to go in order. Do you want to start with the May-October argument? Because that one's a good one. We're in May. It's beautiful here in the DMV now.
What's the argument?
Which is the better month?
Which is the better month?
May.
Just temperature-wise or altogether-wise, all of the above.
May or what?
May or October.
Oh.
And you have to consider everything, Siege. Weather, allergies, sports that are going on. The mental vibe of both, because I've had people say, well, in May, you're excited for the summer.
Exactly. You're coming out of the winter, and you're excited for the warmer weather.
In October, you're sad because...
It's changing.
Winter is coming.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. I go with May.
In May, your baseball team doesn't suck yet.
Right, and you got all these NBA games.
But your football team might suck already.
Your football team may be well on their way to sucking at that point. Now, the thing about October is it's got football. It's got the killer application, as they say. It's got football. Football two ways, college and pro.
I think it's a poor argument that you're basing both months on what follows those months. I thought we were talking about just the months.
It's in the mix is what I'm saying.
Okay, but come on. October, and the golf courses are perfect. The leaves are changing. Football's here. World Series is here.
Right.
There's no pollen. We're not digging out of winter like it takes so long to get warm here. What's the date today? My neighbors haven't even touched their pool yet.
It's in the mid-60s right now, but it'll be in the 80s in a couple of days.
Yeah, so I totally agree with both your points about what's coming. I love summer way more than winter.
What did some of the boys on your text thread say?
Fran Rhodes. Golf
pro to the stars.
Distinguished.
Teaching professional.
No relation to you, Rhodes.
No.
Spells his name wrong. Drier, less humid weather in October, less bugs, less pollen. Golf courses are in great shape. Fall colors, golf plus football, baseball World Series. Beach is perfect. Ocean water is still warm. College kids gone and less crowded. May is freezing there in the ocean. October cons. Winter is coming. Days getting shorter. Leaves on golf courses. That is a good point.
Yeah, I hate leaves on golf courses.
Yeah. Good points for May. The summer is coming. Flowers, NHL playoffs, MLB, far enough in.
Yeah, he did a full breakdown.
He did the whole show.
Didn't even mention NBA playoffs.
And then NBA playoffs.
But I don't care about that.
Right. I don't care about hockey. So
yeah.
I don't know. Those are the two best months, probably.
You think? No question. May, if you had months as tag teams, May and October would be the top tag team.
Yeah.
It'd be The Rock and Triple H teaming up together to be just completely awesome.
Yeah.
The two shittiest would be what? February and August?
If you have to go the other way. If you have to pick a summer month.
I would go. If you had to pick a summer month. Otherwise, I'd go with thank you.
Which month is worse, February or August?
Oh, 100% February.
Yeah, I would go with January and February as the two worst months.
Yeah, back to back.
Yeah. Because
is January, you're telling me that's worse just because it's winter? You got to consider sports. Super Bowl.
I'll tell you.
NFL playoffs in January.
Here we are in Washington. I'm just talking about weather.
Hey, weather boy.
This year we had like an 82-degree day in February. It's getting warmer.
We always have one of those. Every year we have one of those.
But what can you do with it?
I feel like February was better than March this year weather-wise.
Interesting.
It was warmer.
But you can't really do anything with it is the problem. You know what I mean?
I think I forced in 27 holes that day that it was 82. But
the thing about summer around here is it gets miserable.
Buggy.
In July
and
August.
Horrible.
It is insufferable humidity. Bugs out the wazoo, weeds on all the golf courses, thunderstorms every day. Oh, you want to play golf today? Well, we'll see if there's a four-hour thunderstorm delay. Same thing for baseball and open-air stadiums. Let's go to the Nats game. Good, I could be there till midnight.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's most of the country, though. Yeah, unless
it's
you're,
a lot of the
unless
country.
Unless you're in the Northeast, like, every place is hot.
Or California.
Yeah, or California.
Right, but
or,
if you're in Florida, people flee Florida in the summer, just like they flee Arizona in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It's too hot.
It's obnoxiously hot, but I'd rather deal with the heat.
I would rather deal with the heat than the cold.
No doubt.
Any day of the week.
All right, now
that's
that
why August is not a problem for
all right,
me.
Now that we got the warm-up out of the way, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will get into the NBA playoffs and Buck Hantz and his officiating and announcing critiques, because there's a lot to talk about.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code Zabe to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.
How do you feel about it inside the NBA, the TNT show? Is it getting better still? Has it plateaued? Or is it kind of spiraling into its own farce at times?
Well, again, I have to take a different view of this because I worked with Ernie Johnson at WSB.
I know. You are hopelessly biased because you know so many guys in the business.
But, yeah. But he is that. He holds that whole show together.
Yeah, Ernie is excellent at what he does. He's as good as there is. He's the nicest guy in the world. Funny as hell. Every time the Wizards had a game in Atlanta, and it seemed like we had a Friday night game, so we'd go on Thursday, I would go to the TNT studios, hang out with Ernie, hang out with Chuck and Shaq and those guys, and just BS and have a good time. Ernie is great at what he does. That show is still watchable and listenable to me. Because of those guys. I'm not the biggest Shaq fan in the world. I don't think he adds a whole lot, but
hey,
he is Shaq.
Hey, bro, what you talking about, bro?
But Barkley is still must-listen television. Kenny's good. And that show, their producers and their graphics people are so creative It's insane.
No, it's really good. By the way, you mentioned how Mike Breen is the nicest guy you've ever met.
Yeah.
Ernie's nicer than that.
You're right. Well, Ernie's
actually impossible.
Ernie's father was nicer than that. Ernie Sr., who did Braves baseball with Skip Carey and John Sterling, unfortunately, and Pete Van Wieren.
I did not know that was his dad.
Ernie Johnson Sr.
Remember his dad. Okay.
Mr. Rogers, I used to call him. Just the nicest, most lovable man in the world. And Ernie's the same way. And I know if you know his backstory, where he adopted his wife, Cheryl, adopted a kid who had all kinds of diseases. The kid just recently passed away. Mm-hmm. But Ernie is as good a
salt
guy,
of the earth. Yep.
Salt of the earth, good-hearted that you'll ever meet, and hysterically funny. I mean, there was a game where I went to watch them, and not a game, a show, and we're sitting in Ernie's office, both BSing about Channel 2 days, and he says, we're bringing Billy Crystal in to be on the set tonight. So I was like, oh, wow. So in the next hour, Billy Crystal, who was at the Fox Theater, comes to the studio, comes to the office, and it's me, Ernie, and Billy Crystal sitting in his office telling jokes. And I saved what I thought was my best joke for the evening, and it went over well.
But Crystal laugh?
Oh, he did. Absolutely.
Wow. But talk about a bucket list moment.
I can't tell it. You kidding me? Not
I thought
chance.
In the world of podcasts,
we'll save it for tournament
not
day on the 22nd. Woodmont.
A Jewish kid from the mean streets of Vienna.
Arlington got
one of the preeminent all-time Jewish comedians to laugh. At a private dinner. It doesn't get any better than that when it's all said and done. I want to say to you, CJ, as a program director, you have, I think, a keen ear for this. The thing that makes Inside the NBA so great as a show is that they are relentless ball busters.
Well, what I was going to say, obviously they have the best chemistry probably that's ever been on a show. I mean, but what sticks out to me is the authenticity of it.
Yes.
It's not like what you see in the mornings on weekday mornings where it's so forced. You know, I'm going to pick a topic and I'm going to yell at you for...
Yeah,
and
it's
you're
not what's
pick
over on ESPN or Fox Sports 1. It's genuine. Like,
it's genuine. It's not, I'm going to pick a topic and you're going to pick a topic even though you don't believe in the topic and we're just going to yell at each other for 90 seconds or whatever. Like, those guys, they don't do any of that.
Did you see where, I guess, Jalen Rose and Greenberg backed them up, suggested the Knicks were playing poorly in Miami because of the heat outside, and it was wearing them out? And all the panelists at ESPN just nodded their heads. Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
And somebody said, can you imagine Shaq or Barkley saying that? How they would have reacted, they would have savaged
them. Man, get out of here with that.
It's air conditioned, Chuck. Don't you know about air conditioning? Like, they would not have let that stand.
Destroy them. Yeah.
And so that shows you the difference in the authenticity of what the ESPN product is versus this show on TNT.
So I was getting ready to ask that. Should we credit TNT with giving them that platform?
Well, yeah, but you got to credit Ernie Johnson. Like, I don't know, you see this week the with Kenny Johnson on the beach with the model?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Did you see
Kenny Smith
just got divorced, and he had this smoking hot bikini model girlfriend.
Barely bikini.
Yeah. But see, to your point about
it. And so TMZ got photos of it, and everyone on the internet kind of knew about it, right? But on the show, Ernie says, so anyone got any pictures on the weekend?
Yeah, anybody want to talk about what they did this weekend?
See, that's perfect.
And Charles
they
is like,
went in.
Charles is like, I do. And he's like, I know Kenny does. And Kenny's like, I went to the Formula One. And, you know, because it was in Miami. And everyone was like,
no.
He was like, no, I was at Formula One with Shaq. You were there. And he's like, I wasn't with you. That's not what we're talking about. And it was perfect, you know.
I think everybody could stand to lighten up a little bit. I mean, that's a great – you mentioned their chemistry, and I think that even with Shaq, what you guys were saying about Shaq, they know their role. Like, he doesn't really need to do much more than that, I think. And
well, even Kenny. I mean, the stars are Shaq and Barkley first.
Yes.
And is their NBA analysis of what's happening in the series, is it solid?
It's solid for their – because they speak from their past and their generation.
Okay.
So Shaq will always talk about a big man and having to share. And if somebody's not playing well, somebody else has got to step up. They give you their views from when they played.
Are their views getting dated a little bit?
No,
I don't think so. The NBA's evolving, Buck.
Yeah,
you know?
It's evolving.
I mean,
but
These guys are old heads.
Yeah,
and Shaq are old heads now.
Because they're still believable.
No, I know.
And they're still credible. So you have to listen to what they say. But I mean, they've been there.
They know about the value of the corner three as the most coveted shot in basketball and how to maximize analytics to get as many of those as possible?
They may not like it, but they've learned it. Yes.
They may not like it, but they've learned it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk. Let's change gears here. Bring back one thing to D.C. Not the Redskins' name. That's never coming back. But one thing back to D.C. and the sports scene that is gone that you miss dearly.
Steve Buckhands.
Oh, thank you, CJ.
Yay.
That's nice of you.
Freaking stole my thunder.
Really?
That is not even
I'd like
fair.
To hear more about this. I really would.
Now I got to think of something else.
Can we bring back the George Michael sports machine? Yeah. Let's take you to Cheyenne for rodeo days.
Well, if George were alive, we could maybe bring it back. Do you know also
Where's
that,
the machine, by the way?
That's a good question. But the actual machine itself, when he punched the button to roll the videotape, that was not what you saw on the air, because that would have been a union violation. So there was a guy in the back.
A union guy in the back that would start the reels.
Yes, there was, because that was a violation.
And now those union jobs with benefits and pensions and health care are replaced with robot cameras, right?
And yes, there are a lot of robot cameras. And you know what his real name was, right?
No.
George Gimple
is
his real name.
Rest in peace. One of the deans of DC Sports.
He and Glenn Brenner were the two best sportscasters I've ever seen, and I traveled 29 other countries, other cities.
How about we bring back the annual Kemper Open?
There's my backup for that one.
Let's talk about it. Every year, the PGA Tour would come to D.C., play the Kemper Open at Avenel Country Club, which is a TPC
First it was
place.
A congressional.
Yeah.
I know, but let's go with me here. And it was in late May, early June. And when the dates didn't fall quite right, you got a pretty scuzzy field. You got your Billy Andrades winning it, likes of which.
Your Morris Hatalskis.
Morris Hatalski.
Your Billy Glasson. Phil Glasson, I believe, a two-time winner.
So it was a bit of a mangy field, but D.C. turned out for it. It was a big springtime party on the back patio, and now the tour doesn't come to D.C.
Well, we have the Live Tour here in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Nobody
for that.
Even knows about that.
I know That's, about they it. Haven't Trump, done can much, you get me tickets to that?
Yeah, but they haven't done any marketing for it. It's
right, where's the spending? Hey, where's them Saudi dollars?
They've done zero marketing.
Maybe they don't want to market because there are a lot of people that don't want to go to Trump National.
Well, last time they had the senior PGA there, I don't know,
they
5 years ago, something like that, and they had kayakers out in the Potomac
protest signs. Yeah,
no, out there. My tournament was at Trump National for 5 years, and it was fantastic, and it was wonderful. But we
the name has made it toxic.
Well, we had some guys that wouldn't play because of it, and I used to say to them, you know what, ass wipes? This is for sick children who are dying.
Yeah, right.
It has nothing to do with the friggin' president.
Right.
Has nothing to do with politics. It's for sick kids who are dying. Get over it, donate, and play.
Yeah.
That used to make me so mad, but we're not there anymore. But it was great when we had
anything else,
it there.
Anything else we used to have that you're like, God,
well, the easiest, most obvious one's RFK.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most obvious one. I mean, that's where everyone's best moments ever were,
right?
Were at.
I saw where the district is petitioning Congress to let them control that land.
Yeah, I don't know if that's any better, but...
Yes,
maybe
it is.
It's closer to home.
It's a lot better, Rhodes. It's
way
one
better.
Step better.
The reason I say that is I thought at one point there was discussion on the federal government negotiating a deal with the land that FedEx sits on in exchange. I think it was the FBI building.
Oh, a trade?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Whatever the case.
Trade them Ral John for the land under RFK, and we could wrap this up by noon.
Speaking of Ral John, if I was Bezos, I would have jumped all over this bid. And that is the perfect Amazon distribution center location. That's what I would have done.
He did not text you and ask your advice.
He did.
Oh, did really? You got that on your phone right now.
How about bringing back box lacrosse? You remember that game?
Yeah.
Where it was basically homicide was legal. Yeah. You could take your stick and beat it over the back of somebody's head, and it was okay.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a sport, man.
Well since everybody stole my thunder, mine's not bringing something back, but I would love to see the NFL draft come to D.C. and be out on the mall like they did in the outside setting this year.
That would be incredible. I'm going to tell you right now, Rhodesy, they will not bring the circus here until we are a fully functioning NFL city again, meaning stadium.
I believe that's fair.
You're going to keep that stadium out there and say, look, we're not taking it because you need to get your house in order. Now, hopefully this new ownership group, whatever that is, will start that process.
I have a quick question while we're talking about stadiums. A, is there going to be a new Commander Stadium? And B, where do you guys think it should be? I mean, which
gotta, if you want it,
Maryland,
needs,
Virginia, or the district?
There's only one place for it. That's the RFK site. It's got to be in the center of our sprawling tri-state metroplex. It's like the rug in the Big Lebowski. It ties the room together. It brings the community together. Yeah, there's land, but you got to go further and further out to get it. And then you're telling half the market, hey, you want to go to a game? Good luck. Over the river and through the woods, around the belt we go, sitting in traffic all day long. Why the fuck am I doing this?
Yeah. I say Frederick, Maryland is what I say.
Frederick.
Well, that, I mean, there's no, that's Dumfries.
No,
that's
that
fine.
Would
I mean,
be
that's
fine.
Just Dumfries no, the
I'm
other way.
I'm pretty sure Piedmont flies there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get on that. Yeah.
Piedmont. I agree. Defunct Airlines for 500 buckets.
Awesome. Man, you pulled that one out of nowhere.
Yeah, listen, that's a long way. Yeah.
That was a joke.
I understand that. Every other city you see seems to find land right in the middle of the city.
No kidding.
Now, look, RFK site is right, I guess you would call it the middle of the city or nearest to the mall.
What do you mean you could? It is.
Well, it's sort of at the end of the
Yeah, but the city's
district.
Gotten pushed that way now. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's,
again, that would be fine with me.
Unless you build it on a mall next to the Washington Monument.
Right, or somewhere on the river, but I guess there's no spots anymore. There were some spots sort of in Alexandria near that area, but I'd like to see it somewhere accessible to everybody. Yeah. Where it is at FedEx now, that's not accessible to people from Northern Virginia.
No.
And if you moved it into Virginia, and not Woodbridge, but somewhere into Virginia, it wouldn't be accessible for people from Maryland. So, you know, it's one's worse than the other.
All right, I got three more quick ones, then a final one I think Buck's going to really like, and then we're done. Thank you for coming out today for lunch. Was everything excellent here at the Palm?
Quite good.
Tyson's Corner.
Excellent.
Outstanding.
Delicious. Buck, you had the veal. Try the veal. It's
the
delicious.
Veal was outstanding. CJ and I shared a shrimp cocktail, which
what'd
was
you,
good.
What'd you
Spectac.
Have, what'd I had you have the, for your entree?
I had the lunch special, which was the chicken and shrimp parm.
Oh, not chicken and shrimp parm.
It's an interesting
delicious.
Combination.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Wow. I just thought it was strange how you guys fed each other the shrimp.
It's called.
It's kind of like.
It's called Mama Bird, Baby Bird.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's kind of like the Blues Brothers, where we put our arm around each other and fed each other a piece of shrimp.
Yeah.
I had the lobster bisque and the New York strip Caesar
nice.
Salad.
Okay,
and we also had a soft shell crab for an appetizer, which was you don't even know about soft shell crab. You
yes,
you
I
were befuddled when
Roots.
You, earlier when
I
you
was
said
not
what
befuddled.
Is
befuddled? I said,
have you ever had one?
No, but I know what the fuck they are.
The best.
Bitch, I grew up a mile from
okay,
here.
Okay, well, then you should know
here,
how good soft shell
crabs
are.
I've fished for crabs in the Wye River.
You fish for them?
Don't
you fish
tell
for
me,
them?
Do you know?
He fished for them.
Fish for them.
Yes!
There were,
yeah, I went crabbing with chicken necks when I was in high school.
There were two things.
And now I'm mad at you.
In
do
McLean?
You even know what soft shell crabs are?
There were two things that were.
I know what they are. I didn't know if you ate them.
There were Sorry. Two things that were startling, baffling, and alarming about lunch. One, that Rhodes ordered a salad, because that's the
but
first
it did
time.
Have steak in it.
First time, still, it did.
I thought two, it was a proper until I heard Zabe and, order a steak.
And two, the waiter who's been here with Zabe for many, many times brought him a plate of broccoli.
With the
side
steak,
of
yeah, side of broccoli.
Yeah.
And we're like, wait a minute, this is the wrong order. That's not going to
Could
Zabe.
Could have been a Washington
For those
Post
of you know,
front page
he
story
hasn't
right there.
Had a thing that's been green ever in his life.
Yeah. our guy just came over to close the curtains more. Maybe they heard me screaming F you.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, so, you know. Diners here. Yeah. I apologize.
The next lunch will be at IHOP. Yeah.
Okay. NFL schedule's coming out tomorrow night, Thursday night. They've already announced their Black Friday game. That's new. Their international series. And I believe one or two others. Is the NFL finally pushing the envelope of, you know, you're getting kind of greedy here? Or is there no limits to the monster that is the National Football League?
I blame Sheehan for this and his stupid mock schedules that he's been doing for 17 years on this. I mean, like, I enjoy it. I'm looking forward to, like,
I like it.
I like it when it comes
it's
out
Christmas
and
in May.
We all sit around. Like, for me, you know, working with the team, I get to plan out, like, we get some cool...
It's important for you and others in the trip.
We got some cool trips this year. Like, we're going to Denver and L.A. and
of course, you already knew where you were going. You just didn't know when.
But you don't know, like, hey, do we get to go to Denver in the warm months?
Right.
Like, a couple of years ago, we went to Denver, and it was, like, mid-October. So, perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so for that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like playing the whole game, like...
Here's the thing.
You know, what's a record going to be at Halloween? What's it going to be at Thanksgiving? You know, that sort of thing.
Today on our show in Milwaukee, we talked to John Kuhn, former Packer fullback, and he said, you know, 10 years ago when I played in the league, 12 years ago, I don't even remember when the schedule would come out. It would just be all of a sudden, oh, the schedule's out. Do you guys remember when this wasn't even a thing, when the schedule buck would just spawn out of thin air,
day? I knew when the NBA schedule would come out for the same reason that CJ just mentioned. You look at it, and I think, okay, how many days off do we get during the All-Star break? When are we in Phoenix? When are we in L.A.? When are we in Miami? When are we in Orlando? All the golf cities.
Yeah.
And but do we have a day off in any of the NFL? It doesn't
Rhodes,
do anything.
Do you remember the day and age where we didn't know when it was coming out?
Absolutely.
And it just got thrown in our laps?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually...
Well, there was no social media then either.
Yeah, but now it's a big strip tease. It's like the old burlesque dancer.
Because they make a big deal out of everything, right?
Well, so it almost reminds me of the business I was in, which is in the government consulting world, you know, oh, did we just talk? That's a billable line right there. It's like... Let's capture every potential billable, marketable opportunity we can. That's okay, but to your question about being too greedy, maybe we're not there yet, but oversaturation could really make things less exciting. I mean,
it hasn't yet.
It hasn't yet.
I don't think it will.
NFL is touching the day of Friday on purpose for the first time ever. They've played games on Friday by accident, or if it was Christmas Eve or whatever. Thanks. No. This is a purposeful invasion of Friday, which they always kept sacred because of high school football. Now they're like, it's Black Friday.
Yeah.
People are sitting around bored out of their minds with their in-laws.
It's fair game. That's
they're
what
like,
they're
let's
saying.
Go.
Yeah, no, I...
So and is we're Tuesday, gonna... are Tuesday and Wednesday the last 2 days?
For now.
Yet to be conquered.
For now.
That's right.
So will they be eventually conquered?
Why not? I mean...
Because scheduling is really hard.
Well, they'll do it. They'll get it done.
You'd have to give a team a bye
you have to
on
get
either
both
side.
Yeah, both at least on the next week's
side. At least
side,
the following
the
week.
The following week.
Well,
yeah.
You'd want it on the front. You can't turn around to play a game in a day.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you... So
you'd have to give them a Monday night football game the following week. Just play Tuesday night and then have the Monday night football game.
There's probably a way to do it. I'm sure they've war planned.
Yeah.
But we're headed towards that, basically.
But I mean, they make teams play on Sunday and then fly back from, you know, Frankfurt.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about this. Ghosts and hotel talk. This is right in your wheelhouse, Buck.
Yes.
Steve Buckhance has traveled so much in his years of calling NBA games and otherwise, and he is a very particular traveler. There's nothing wrong with that, but he's a little bit more particular than most. He wants rooms where he wants them. He wants them away from the ice maker, away from the elevators.
Housekeeping.
Floors, you're superstitious. Housekeeping, bing, bang, boom.
Worse than Naki in Vegas?
Worse than Naki in Vegas, believe it or not. So Mookie Betts for the Dodgers has opted out of staying at the legendary and 130-year-old Pfister Hotel in downtown Milwaukee.
One of my favorite places.
Beautiful place, but it's old.
It's old.
Rumor is there's ghosts there.
Never saw any.
And the number of players, there's a lot of players in baseball that don't stay there when the team's coming to town, mostly because it's a more of a middle Latin America or Hispanic culture thing where ghosts and spirits are a little bit more part of the culture, and they're like, I'm not fucking staying there. But Mookie Betts is from Chattanooga. So why the hell is he staying at an Airbnb? Question around the horn. Who's scared of ghosts at hotels? Not me.
I am.
You're scared of ghosts?
Hell yeah. I live in a ghostville.
Which is?
I live by Antietam Battlefield. My wife has seen a ghost.
Get out of here. I swear. You sure it wasn't your white ass going to the bathroom?
Yeah, could have been. Could have been.
My wife came home looking like a ghost because she was driving to Shepherdstown to pick up Chinese food. She comes back and she goes, I was crossing the Antietam Creek little bridge, and there's this guy walking towards me on the road, and he's in an all, like, brownish gray suit. He's like, what the hell is this guy doing? He must be a reenactor. I hope he gets out of the way. And then the next thing you know, he's not there.
Wow. So your wife was shook.
She was shook. My wife's legit smart, man. She doesn't make up this stuff.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like you guys are not believers in ghosts.
Or
haven't seen any.
I've never seen one. I love the Pfister. I never saw a ghost there. I found 500 peanut shells under my mattress once. But along with lots of other things. We've talked about that story.
Yeah, the under the mattress stuff.
In between the mattress and box springs. Yeah, that's huge.
Well, the
everything.
Lube.
Lots of condoms, lots of porn, that
magazine.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Found all that stuff.
He used to it's the best.
Close
he
used to
check
maker
every time he went in the hotel.
I still do.
First, yeah.
Well, I would check for the king size wooden plank that they were put under there. And if I found it, I'd pull it out. But that's when I started finding everything else. That's a whole nother.
Isn't that better than not knowing?
That's another hour.
Would you rather not know?
No. I told you, you never know what you're sleeping on. You know. But to further this, Zabe, the worst hotel in the country for sports guys that won't stay there is in Oklahoma City, and it's called the Skirvin. And that is
sounds like a bad place.
Well, I used to call it the Skirvin.
Scurvy.
That is legitimately known as a ghost hotel. So I'd say 90% of the NBA teams now won't stay there. They'll stay at the two other hotels in Oklahoma City that are nice. I love the Skirvin. In fact, I invited the ghost into my room.
By the way, they're not all mean.
No, they're not. I am hoping one day, just like when I've seen The Exorcist so many times, that at some point when my lights start to flicker in my house, I'll know that Reagan McNeil is coming back.
Okay.
And that they're coming maybe
CJ,
for me.
CJ, any ghost encounters for you?
None.
None.
And I don't understand why there would be a ghost at Antietam, but not like anywhere else in the... I mean,
Disney
other
World.
Than it's a battlefield,
you
but there are battlefields everywhere.
Like I'm a weirdo.
Like...
Not you, but your wife, too, has seen the ghost. It's a little suspect.
By the way, I mean, let's just say it. I mean, the brothers don't like ghosts. anything to do with ghosts, they're not going near it.
It all depends.
Don't you remember Eddie Murphy's skit?
Get out. You know, we ain't staying here.
Too bad we can't stay, baby.
Too bad we can't stay. That was hysterical.
What would scare you more, seeing a ghost, hearing a ghost say something, or seeing an object move without anyone touching it?
By the way, that hadn't happened in a long time.
to me, the whole moving of objects, like in movies, that freaks me the fuck out.
That's a little freaky.
Yeah.
So what would scare you the most?
The other night, not too long ago, the alarm in my house went off at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was up watching TV.
Right.
Like, that scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, I've had that happen as well, where the window sensors fail.
Well,
no. So it really wasn't anyone breaking in, but they failed. And
well, they didn't. No, that didn't fail. The actual alarm went off loud. Ooh. So I got up and turned it off, looked at the thing, and it said, rear basement window. No shit. So now what do you do? I don't own a gun, so now what do you do besides piss yourself? I sat there for a minute and I thought, okay, well, the first thing I'm not doing is going downstairs.
Yeah.
Okay, I grabbed the knife, and what I did was
a knife, the home protection knife.
That's all I could. What else am I gonna? I didn't have a baseball bat.
How
handy.
Big was it?
It's a big knife.
Okay, the biggest one.
I had
could
a
find.
Big knife, my cell phone, and a flashlight, and I went outside.
Yeah,
at 2:30 in the morning. And I looked all the way around my house, all the windows and everything, to see if anything was ajar.
Why would you go outside?
Without calling 911.
Because I didn't want to go inside and have somebody be in the house.
Yeah,
and murder you.
But I figured if I was outside and I saw a window was broken, I could run to the neighbor.
But you didn't call 911.
No, I didn't call him right away.
I think I would have called right away.
I would have done almost everything you just did.
Hold on. What about your bride? Sleeping
upstairs, not bothered by it. I mean, concerned.
you would run into the woods when you saw the broken window, leaving your bride behind.
Don't let her listen
probably,
to this.
Probably. Yeah. At this point,
you're like, well, I hadn't really war planned it that far, but yeah. That's hilarious.
No, it was a scary, scary time. Actually, no. Look, she was away. She wasn't. I was home by myself. Oh. Yeah.
So anyway, so it didn't turn out to be anything. This happened to you, Rosie?
Well, I was saying to Buzz, so I don't own a gun either. They scare me. I've got three kids, and this happened to us one night at our previous house, and my mom was even staying there. And my mom's like, John, wake up. And Shauna and I are in bed, and we hopped up, and the hair stood back. I had hair. Stood up on the back of our neck. We did the same exact thing. We grabbed a knife. We went outside. It turned out that it was one of my twin babies talking puzzles in the basement.
Oh, my God.
The battery was running out, and it kept making this noise like, you've chosen B. And I tell you what.
That's fucking freaky.
We opened the basement door, and I'm like,
I didn't know what talking puzzles was, but I...
Oh, man.
Good job. It's the triangle.
I'm telling you.
That would scare you a little bit.
You might want to write that down. Like, we could make some money off that movie script of creating, like...
Yes.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, take the batteries out of the machine.
We got something there.
We did after that. But so you took your knife and your coward ass outside with your wife. And left the family inside the
No, we all gave the intruder. All went out. All of us.
Okay.
All of us.
Yeah, well, I had a couple false alarms, and I would say that I didn't really do well investigating because I also don't own firearms because of reasons. But I then just stopped paying for my alarm. I don't have an alarm.
Really? Anymore. Oh, see, that's even more scary to me.
Why?
Because I want to know if somebody's trying to break in my house or if I'm not home.
What are you going to do, shoot them?
Well, like I said, I'm going to run away first.
If you're going to die, you want to know it.
I want to get out of there. But also, if I'm not home, I want to have my house protected.
To me, the number of false alarms and the terror that induces...
Yeah, I don't get that many false alarms.
All it takes is one.
Well, I've had a couple, but everybody's had a couple. Yeah, well, and it goes to your system, and then they call the cops, and then the cops send you a letter that says, the next time this happens...
You get charged,
right. Okay, well...
How about a dog? Is a dog better than the alarm system?
Good idea if you want to pick up crap in your house and hair. I love dogs, but, you know, I had
one.
Doesn't
sound like it.
I grew up with dogs, but the shedding, I can't take. If I had a dog, it would have to be without shedding.
Well, they have plenty of breeds that don't shed.
Yeah, no, I would do that. I grew up with them. I love them.
But you're not.
I don't have them,
Because you love dogs.
No, because the wife doesn't love dogs.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. All right. Zay, I'm disappointed we didn't get to talk about the officiating. The rules.
Let's talk about the rules. What's your big gripe officiating in the playoffs?
First of all, I think they're the best guys that you could have. People complain about it. Every year we complain more and more and more. Each year more and more and more.
Even
and
Scott Foster.
Well, he's a close friend. I think he's excellent. Yeah, I think he's excellent. He's one of their top officials.
Yeah.
One of their top five. And I think that the reason people complain is because of social media. It's more exposed. Every year it's more exposed, more replays. And so every year we have more fodder to criticize them. What I've always had a problem with the NBA, and I called it for so many years, is the inconsistencies of the officiating. The traveling that's called out on the wing, but not at a player underneath the basket who shuffles his feet. The spin move, which cracks me up.
LeBron's spin move
unbelievable.
Might be a travel.
If I were a coach, I would teach my kid to go into the lane and spin because you cannot call traveling.
Yeah.
You cannot call traveling on that. You could take five steps. It won't be called. Okay. That's one of the inconsistencies. There's a lot of little ones like kicked ball. Okay. The rule in the NBA is it must be intentional to be a kicked ball.
That was the other night.
It happens all the time.
And the foot was stable. It wasn't intended to
kick. They call it a kicked ball virtually every single time, whether it's intent or not.
But sometimes they miss them. They missed a big one in the Heat Bucks series where Budenholzer got teed up. He's like, what are you watching? Guy stuck his leg out. Stopped the ball.
It's going to get. They're going to miss stuff. They're human beings. Here's another one. And I sent you the picture, I think, last night, didn't I? James Harden, now watch this when the Sixers play, does it every time. And in fact, Devin Booker does it every time. I saw it last night. Steps into the free throw lane before the ball reaches the rim on a free throw. That's a violation.
That's a violation.
A shooter cannot come into the lane before the ball touches the rim. He does it every single time. I texted Scott Foster the other night, and Scott's great. He gets back to me.
Foster, NBA referee.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I said, Scott, and I sent him the picture. I said, Actually, it wasn't that play. It was another play where Harden was on the lane and came into the lane, and the free throw was missed. And they came in way before the free throw was even shot. You know, as guys do when they get kind of faked out by the shooter and they come in, they lose their balance and they come into the lane. Came into the lane, free throw was missed, and I said, doesn't that have to be called? And he said, it should have been called, but it wasn't.
But so what about the free throw line? Did he have anything to say about that?
Yeah, he said that's a violation, and that if it's a situation where it's in a critical point of the game, yes, it should be called, but you'll never see it.
Okay, so they then apply that rule inconsistently because they feel it's just too niggling,
yes,
of a rule.
Right.
But, well, that's dumb. That's dumb because it's going to matter at some point.
At some point it will. Absolutely.
And they will have made a judgment call that would have been wrong. Better to just strictly enforce it, even though it feels nerdy and stupid,
right,
than to go ahead and do it this way.
And the other thing we talked about, which we talked about before the show, was the quote-unquote late whistle, which baffles Reggie Miller because he doesn't understand the concept of it. This is another situation where Josh Tiven is a friend of mine, and we had a long conversation
NBA
about
referee.
This a couple of years ago in Connecticut where he lives. The late whistle, it may be late, but it's not incorrect, okay? The officials are waiting to see. They're waiting to see if the contact that was made has an effect on the play. And sometimes the whistle is late, but they're waiting to see if it has an effect. Now, Van Gundy's gripe about it, and even Reggie Miller's to a certain extent, is that, well, it's a foul. It was a foul because you called it a foul. So why wouldn't you call it a foul when it occurred? Well, sometimes just because there's contact doesn't mean it's a foul. Sometimes. I mean, we've seen that a lot. So they wait sometimes to see if that contact affected the play. And when they realize that it affects the play, and Josh got back to me last night and he said, I'd rather be late and make the right call than call the call early and make the wrong call. And that's why they wait on that. So if somebody could explain that to Reggie, it would be fabulous because he doesn't understand it.
Classic example, jump shooter goes up and you don't call a foul right away, but then you see the ball ends up 4 feet short, air ball.
Right.
That means he got fouled.
Right,
by
means he got hit on the hand or the arm.
You're not going to miss a jumper by 4 feet.
Right.
You're just not.
Right.
So you got hit there, but you needed to see how the ball flew for a second,
sure,
or two to make the call.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, absolutely. And coming down now, you know, if there's any contact at all coming down now on a 3-point shot, you will get called for the foul. I mean, that's the philosophy they've taken now.
Yeah.
But the thing that we talked about before the show was, which is the right arm that creates space by the offensive player. They give all the advantages to the offensive player and virtually none to the defensive player. Remember, you used to be able to hand check a guy. You can hand check him now if his back's to you, but you cannot touch him if he's fronting, if you know you're facing him. You can't touch him. Whereas an offensive player can use their off arm all they want to create space, and every guy does it. LeBron's the best at it, to get space and to get themselves an open shot, and it's never called.
But the game is where it belongs,
sure,
scoring-wise. It's in the 110s,
and 120s. That's what they want.
And it used to be, as you guys know, in the 80s.
Used to be.
And it was awful.
Yeah. The eight-second violation in the backcourt, which is interesting. The referees look at the shot clock to determine whether it's a violation. And for years and years and years, when it went from 10 seconds to 8 seconds, they'd look at the number 16. When the number 16 came up on the shot clock, it was a violation.
Wow.
Okay? That's how they call it. They do it in college, too. College, they used to count.
Yeah.
Now the NBA and college are the same. They look at the shot clock. They had to change it because 16 might not be a full 8 seconds.
Could be 7 seconds and one-tenth of a second.
Now it has to show 15.9 or less for them to call an eight-second violation. It's an interesting call. It happened once in a Wizards game, and it was 16 on the shot clock. They called a violation. They had to go over and look at it again, and they realized that it wasn't a violation because it had not hit 15 yet. So now the magic number is 15 when they look
too
at
much
clock.
Too much,
it's a lot of stuff,
too much attempts to be perfect in officiating, and
yeah, but there's just so many inconsistencies, it just bothers me.
Yeah, well,
so you know, I've always had a hard time articulating what it is about the NBA, like what is it that I find to be
objectionable,
not pleasing, you know, and I think you put your finger on something there, Buck, which is back to the point about the free throw. They don't call it because of the particular time of game it's in.
Right.
See, that all – I hear what you're saying about social media and people picking particular calls and complaining. Yeah. To me, it's just the overall eye test. Like, if it doesn't look right, it doesn't look right.
Yeah.
So you, it was bothering you because you had to text your guy. So
it's just that's that I chalk up to as part of the game. It's like if you watch a guy at a free throw line, and I think it was Booker now, but I know it was Giannis when he did it. The referees never counted 10 seconds to see how long a guy it took a guy to shoot a free throw.
Until the fans started chanting.
Right, they started chanting. So now they started chanting on Giannis. So now not only do the officials have to start counting, and by the way, it's an officials count that's different than a clock count. Okay, so when they started, everybody started noticing that, and the entire arena was chanting one, two, whatever.
You should be able to have as much time as you want.
ABC put a clock on it, okay? Well, that was misleading because, again, a clock, if you stand in front of your microwave, you can't believe how fast 5 seconds goes. It goes like this. One, two, three.
So what happens now? Is the food free or do we pay someone?
Of course not. They send you a bill.